Welcome to the Inside Songwriting Podcast. This is where songwriters find inspiration every time. Hey friends, welcome back to Inside Songwriting Podcast. This is episode 19. My name's Carl Brody and I'm very happy to be talking to you from a nice winter's day on the cliff tops of Sydney. And I've been really busy and doing a whole bunch of different things which I'll tell you about. But I thought this morning I would just jump in and let you know about a little. I was just writing a song. I've been writing a bunch, and I was looking up rhyming dictionaries earlier, which is not something I do very often, but I kind of got stuck and I wanted to see if it would help me, and it did. So I've just finished a song, and I used a rhyming dictionary because I got stuck. And so sometimes, you know, I've been in sessions with people writing, and they just spent the whole time on the net looking up things to inspire them or influence them in some way. And I'm not sure whether or not that's something I think is good or not. I just think that everyone has different ways of writing songs. And what I would like to be able to do with my writing is not to depend on those things. But, you know, if you get stuck and there's some help there, bring it on. Absolutely. So I used one this morning and I completed a little part of a chorus, and I'm really happy with it. And I needed a rhyming dictionary. I called for help. I called a friend, whatever you call that on game shows, and it worked. And so I'll play it a little bit. I've never done this before. I'll play a little bit of the song right now for the line that when this chopper passes. When you live on the cliff tops, by the way, you get quite a lot of helicopters. I'll play the line that I used the rhyming dictionary for. And there was so many options when I opened up the rhyming dictionary. Wow, that chopper's loud. Can you hear it? I don't think they're looking for anything. I think that just it's some kind of routine run. And by the way, I've had a lot of, I think the last time I was quote unquote waiting around and to spot some whales, because it's whale season at the moment, and I don't want this podcast to become whale watching from the cliff tops of Sydney or anything like that, but I think in the last 3 weeks I've seen about 100 whales. It's pretty amazing when you get them, when you see the spouts and you see them, their bodies and their tails coming out of the water. Right in front of me there's a vast expanse of ocean, so that's what I'm lucky enough to get to see a lot of the action, and some of them have been pretty close, but it's really nice seeing them in the distance as well, because it looks like it's in slow motion. So I'll give you a little burst of this chorus. I done all of this on my own. I done all of this on my own. And everyone, including you, knew I done all of this on my own. I done all of this on my own. It's deeper than bones with my memories of cobblestones. And if I get the chance again, I will not hide what should be shown. I done all of this on my own. The whole chorus is based on a rhyme, basically, and that's not something I'm conscious of while I'm writing it. I just want to say what I need to say, want to convey the right message, and it just so happened that I needed to rhyme with on my own, all of this on my own, and then I started messing with a bit of a repeated rhyming thing to tail it off, to resolve the chorus. And I really like it. I'm really happy with it. And the great thing about writing songs is we never know what's going to happen with them down the line. So paying particular attention to them at the time is really, really important, and revisiting it again and again is really important. If you're not under some kind of deadline to finish a record or something like that and release it quickly, it's great to have the luxury of time with the songs that you write and the songs that we write. And with this one, I've mentioned before that the podcasts are an amazing way of me sort of documenting things chronologically, with not only with my writing but with my travels and my career. And you know, if you listen to this in the future, I hope that this song I've just written goes somewhere and finds a home somewhere and finds some friends. That's what we hope for when we write songs, right? I just happened to sit down and try and finish this song because I'm waiting on some samples to come through for a job that I'm about to finish, for a TV thing where I produced some music. Well, I wrote and produced some music for this thing, and I'm waiting for some samples so I can complete it. And then, you know, as a result of the waiting, I sat down to finish a song that's been drifting around for a couple of weeks, and I'm really happy. So, you know, rhyming, what do we do about rhyming? I'm all for it, but I'm also all for not sticking to any rules whereby we have to rhyme. I think that if we want to say something, we should say it using the best language we can possibly find. And if that doesn't happen to rhyme, then there's nothing wrong with that. And unfortunately, I think there's an emphasis on within some of the schools of songwriting teaching to stick to rhyming patterns. And it's really frustrating when you're with a co-writer who feels like they must adhere to those rules, especially when there's a better way of saying it. And you know, these days, in modern times, we need not adhere to what we think radio needs or what a hit requires. I mean, if you look at all the songs that are getting noticed, that are standing out, even in mainstream pop, they're standing out because they're doing things differently. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you want to make a difference, do things differently. And, you know, I love it when the train of thought that I am on when I'm writing is, you know, somewhat rebellious in a way, where I am defiant to those rules. It feels really good. And there's no one... I'm not signed to a record company these days. I was in the past, and I've been lucky anyway with my record deals that I've had, even with majors. No one was really dictating what I should record, so I've been pretty lucky in that sense anyway. But there's a lot of people I know, and some of my friends who are signed to record deals, they must adhere to certain requirements for radio formats. And the way I look at it is it's out there for the taking now for everyone. Everyone who's a songwriter, everyone who's an artist, a recording artist, which is, you know, basically you can declare yourself a recording artist and think like one without the gatekeepers these days. And how cool is that? No one's there telling us that we can't let the world hear our music. So non-conformity, as long as it's serving the song well, is very much encouraged on this show. And I'll be the first to tell you that if you want to break a rhyming pattern because there's something really important you want to say, then go ahead and break the rhyming pattern. You know, it's how it falls on the ear of the listener as well, at the end point. And it appeals to some people and it doesn't to others. Some people like their listening experience to be safe and comfortable, rather than to be challenged a little with something different. I mean, I can think of about 10 songs I've heard recently that are getting high rotation airplay on mainstream radio. They're definitely not conforming to patterns from the past or patterns that are expected of them. And I think that we can learn a lot from that just in terms of thinking while we're writing songs. You know, our creative process doesn't have to have all these barriers and boundaries. And, you know, I was watching someone at my songwriters night that I run every Tuesday. Excuse me, I've mentioned it a bunch of times. And incidentally, next Tuesday is our 1 year party. So I'm really lucky to have been looking after that night for a year. I've got a really supportive venue, and you know, the talent that I get to see weekly is incredible. And you know, selfishly, it's really good for me. I start the night and close the night with trying out new songs and sometimes playing old songs as well. And it's just it's a really healthy community of songwriters, and that was absolutely my intention in the beginning. And we've been going for 12 months, pretty amazing. A lot of things have happened because of that night. Co-writes, people playing in each other's bands, producing each other, collaborations of all sorts. It's pretty amazing. Yeah, a few weeks ago I was watching this guy. He'd never been there before, and he came down one night, and I didn't know what to expect. He sent me a message to ask if I could give him a spot, and I said sure. But I didn't actually know what to expect. I just like encouraging people who want to come along. And he was brilliant. He was amazing. His name's Peter Jones, and he wrote some great songs, and he delivered them really well. And he's one of those songwriters that crams in a lot of words into each line. And to some, that can be a little busy. And I didn't feel that at all with his writing. I felt like it was clever and engaging, and I was listening to every line intently. I didn't think about it for 1 minute being busy. I thought, that's awesome. It's a thing, you know. He's got a thing that he does, and that's what that's why he stood out to me as well. Because, you know, a lot of people avoid that. They avoid being too wordy. And I mean, if you've got a lot of words that you want to squeeze into one line and they don't sound very good, then that's a different story altogether. But this guy was really, really good at it. And I don't think that we should worry about that. And another thing I like about doing that is if you do it sparingly, it can have real impact. If your verse one doesn't do that, but one of the lines in verse two does that, I always sit up and listen and go, that was awesome, the way that worked. And that's obviously when it works, and it's something to try as well. If there's any chance of the music being monotonous in any way, then something like that will break it up. And if you're using your words well, it's a really great trick to engage your listener and to keep yourself interested as well. Something that happens rhythmically and lyrically, that's a little bit different. I've spoken about this before, and I love this stuff when it comes to writing songs that are engaging and eventful all the way through. Speaking of which, I'm really looking forward to, what day is it now? It's Friday now. On next Wednesday, after our 1 year party at the Bunker Songwriter Sessions, next Wednesday I head north, and I'm going up to a place called Nundle, which is about 7 hours drive away or 6 hours drive away. And I'm one of the tutors, one of the mentors on a songwriter's retreat for 6 days. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to be working with, I think, around 14 to 18 people who have registered for this retreat, and we're out in the countryside. It's going to be freezing. It does get cold up that way. I know that because I've toured up that way around this time of year a lot. And in fact, during that week, it coincides with a festival called the Hats Off Festival in Tamworth, which is about 30 kilometers away. And where we are in Nundle, that's part of the festival. So during the songwriter's retreat, I actually have 3 shows that I'm playing as well over those few days. So it's, you know, got a good week coming up. I need to kind of update you with a bunch of stuff, and I'm just sort of rattling off right now. But speaking of dynamic songwriting and songs that are engaging throughout, you know, I've done song coaching. I do a lot of song coaching, and I've done Not so much of the group coaching. So I'm really interested in, I do a lot of one-on-one. I do that weekly, actually. In fact, later this afternoon, I have a student who's one of my, one of my prodigies. I don't sort of see it like that. I'm just coaching them and helping them with what they're doing. And it's great. I love it. I love the one-on-one. And I'm really interested in doing the group coaching to see how that pans out, especially being one of five coaches. And we have a separate workshop dedicated to our style of teaching on different days. And then we do one-on-one breakouts. And I'm really looking forward to this. And, I was thinking about it and thinking, well, there's five coaches. There's going to be a lot of information for these guys. I want to make sure that what I'm adding to their process is something special and something that gives them a lot to consider. And, you know, I want to bring a lot of value to their creative way of thinking. And I just know by default that my focus is going to be on dynamics and eventful song structure. It's going to be on making the songs interesting from start to finish. And a lot of the teachings that I've come across, there's a lot of areas where I find those gaps for a focal point for where you should be concerned with your songwriting. One of those examples would be that a verse is not just a means by which to get to the chorus. And I think that's really important. You know, a chorus, I'm going to do a whole episode on this, and, you know, a chorus can be a bunch of things. There are so many impactful ways to write a chorus. And one of the most obvious ones that we know of and think of immediately is repetition. And, I find that if something is important enough to sing about, to write about, then usually that should be where the chorus sits. So that's sort of reiterating the reason you wrote the song in the first place. So then that means that you would be the repetition would be of something meaningful, and that's encouraged. The songs that, there's a lot of songs that are written where they repeat something that's actually quite meaningless, and I wonder why they even bothered. Not to be negative, because we don't do that on this show, but I'm just trying to stress the point here that if you do choose the repetition option for a chorus, then make it meaningful, make it something that is really worth saying. And also, if you do choose the repetition option for your hook, then even more reason to make your verse really special and to say everything you need to say in the verses. You've got to give all the details, tell the story, make the story really engaging, whether you're building characters or setting the scene. You know, who are you talking to? Line by line, the verses are not secondary importance. The verses are why, when you get to the chorus, it means that much. You need to set that up really well. And that, you know, I'm just thinking out loud here, and also letting you know that that's my approach, and that's definitely going to be when I'm amongst a few other coaches who are going to have their own style of teaching. Of course, I don't want to, repeat some of the messages that they want to make sure the students are taken home with them. I want to, you know, I've been thinking about what would be my focal point, and what's the most important thing I want the people that I'm coaching to take home with them, and to continue and to include as part of their writing process from next week on. And hopefully it's going to mean that even during that week and beyond, they're going to start writing absolute crackers, which means a lot to me. It's so rewarding when I've had some kind of influence on the processes And that's why you guys mean so much to me, letting me know. You know, there's been so many great emails. You know who you are as well. There's people that have just said, oh, I haven't written for years. And after I found your podcast, I've actually started writing again. And I've written 3 songs. And I've never written anything this personal, but I'm really comfortable with it now after listening to your podcast and reading the Free Thinking Songwriter. You know, and that was absolutely my intention with these things. I want to somehow share what I have and have you turn that into your awesome, brilliant, creative output as songwriters. Well, friends, I'm going to wrap up today's episode pretty shortly. It's a bit of an in-between episode. I've got lots more coming to you soon, but right now I've got to get myself ready for this songwriters retreat. I've got a show tonight. Got about 6 shows in the next fortnight, actually. So one of the things I'm going to do to end this show is something I haven't done before, and because this episode's a little bit different, I feel like I can. And you know, one of the things that helps songwriters and that I challenge myself with as often as possible is braving brand new songs to an audience. And the reason I challenge myself is because as soon as we play it to someone else, we start to hear things very differently. And we hear our flaws or our strengths, and we hear where it might need some help. And it's a really good way of assessing it for the first time is when you play it to someone else. And I get to do that with Michael, my mentor, my buddy. it's great because, you know, he and I have got such a good relationship that occasionally I don't send them new songs, and occasionally I do. And actually, if I can pull up this email, the snippet that I just played you, I actually sent the song to Michael shortly afterwards, and I sent it. This is a sort of me giving you an example of, you know, I've had a lot of success with my songs, and I continue to, and I'm pretty lucky. It's really exciting that I get my songs do find places, and I'm currently co-writing a whole album with someone. I've got another cut on an album of someone else's that I know of coming out soon. I've written 2 for another EP, and another one, and possibly that's going to be on another record, and possibly another couple of co-writes that are coming up. I get a lot of this stuff weekly, regularly. You know, I'm just live and breathe, and I know that I'm fortunate. I know that isn't the same with everyone, but hopefully, you know, I'm going to hear more and more about you guys having the results that you desire as well. And I would recommend doing this: one, finding yourself someone that you can run your songs by if you don't already have someone, and preferably not just your family, because my family do it too, because they love me. They tell me that everything I do is brilliant. It's actually not the case. My brother used to be my biggest critic. You know, with everything I sent him, he'd always have something negative to say. But because I know and love my brother so well, so much, now that when he does that, I know that it's only a matter of days or weeks before he turns around and tells me that it's the best thing he's ever heard. But I think he's helping me, you know, devil's advocate and all that. So I sent the song that I played you a snippet of, which I've called, for now I've called it Somewhere Very Different. And excuse me, just moving my phone out of the way because it's buzzing. I sent him that, and also sent him another one that I threw down on the iPhone that was basically a day old. So the Somewhere Very Different one, I just finished it. With the use of the rhyming dictionary, like I told you. But the idea has been messing around with me for maybe a couple of weeks. This other one was a brand new one. And I sort of, it was one day old. So I'll read you what Michael wrote back to me. I'm sure he won't mind. So I sent, the other one was called Southbound Winds. And so he wrote back, and it's quite short, but it's enough for me. He wrote back, both good. Southbound is a great idea, but I thought I needed a little tightening. I also thought I needed something else. That something was lacking. And then it provided its own answer. You moved through some changes at the end and it lifted the tone. I'd apply that approach across the body of the song more. Let it be still where it needs and both sections will have greater impact. Now even that, he just, you know, a couple of sentences and he's sort of, I mean, in some cases he just confirms what I'm thinking anyway. And in some cases he highlights an area because I'm an excited songwriter that I hadn't even considered. And that's what I love about being able to share my songs with someone. And then on the next one, he kept it even shorter. He said, some are very different. He said, it's very classy. I love the tone you've set. Rambles a little bit. Well, he says rambles a wee bit. Rambles a little bit, but it's very strong. Rock on, jock. And Michael doesn't probably even know this, but throughout my high school days in London, because I had moved there from Scotland, Jock is a name that I answered to from virtually everyone in the whole school because Scots get called Jock when we travel, and in England even more so. And the other one, which is Cockney rhyming slang for a Scottish person, is a sweaty sock. Sweaty sock, meaning jock. So people would shout jock and I'd turn my head. And I can't believe still that went on for a couple of years while I went to high school in London. So Michael's Michael J. Roberts, my friend, who's given me a little bit of constructive criticism and thoughts on my two brand new songs. He says, rock on, jock. That makes me happy. And I also know I've got work to do, which is what I'm going to do. And also, I've got a show tonight where I'm going to take it one step further and brave that new song and just see how I feel. I'm going to play it to the best that I can at the moment and see what it makes me feel while I'm playing it, because that's important to me. I don't like delivering songs that I've written and not feeling good about it. And I think that I'm sure that everyone, all songwriters, feel the same. Unless, of course, it's making you $1 million. Then I'm sure you don't care how it makes you feel. Before I do something very different right now, I will tell you that as a successful songwriter, it's not widely known that one of my first ever cuts, in fact, probably even my first cut besides my own releases, was on a kids' show. I wrote a song that one of the kids on the show actually sang and recorded. And it was a show, I think I only saw one episode, and it was the episode with my song in it. But I think it was about ponies. I think it was about little kids and ponies. And it was called The Saddle Club. And I think the name of this, I'd have to look it up, but I think the name of the song I wrote was Keep Shining. I'll need to double check that. Keep on shining or keep shining, something like that. But it was cute. And I got on a TV show. And that was the start. So anyway, I'm about to wrap up this episode. But before I do that, I'm going to play you something. And, you know, it's no big deal. It's just me doing something differently. And what I would love to ask you is if you've listened this far into this in-between episode, then you know you can catch me on Twitter, right? I've mentioned it a few times. I'm on there. You can type in Inside Songwriting, or you can type in @songkarl, which is just SNGKARL. That's SNG without the O. SNGKARL. Like I say, if you're looking for me on Twitter, just type in Inside Songwriting and it should come up. And what I would love to ask you to do is if you have listened this far into the show, and if you hear this next thing, if you could just tweet me or just say I listened. Just send me a tweet, say I listened, and that'll please me greatly. And if you think about it, just #ispodcast for Inside Songwriting. Thanks so much, guys. All the best. I'm going to leave you with this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to brave it and play you the rest of that song. And I know it's no big deal, but, you know, it's part of what we do here. And this is part of a new practice that I like to challenge myself with, which is to play brand new songs to people and see how I feel about it. I'm really grateful you're here, and I'll see you next time. All the best, guys. By the way, I put a little bit of compression and reverb on it, so I'm not that brave, really, am I? I'm not looking for you anymore. I've been at every single house and knocked on every single door. You're not around. You're nowhere to be found. I've been asking all over town. Accident. Something I said was misunderstood, 'cause what I meant would have taken me somewhere very different. Somewhere very different. Somewhere very different. I done all of this on my own. I done all of this on my own. And everyone, including you, knew. I done all of this on my own. I done all of this on my own. It's deeper than bones. With my memories of cobblestone. If I get the chance again, I will not hide what should be shown. I've done all of this on my own. Oh, there I was, I thought I had you fooled. And everyone but me could see by the trail that I was leaving, by the moments I was stealing. I never imagined I'd turn to thieving. I done all of this on my own. I done all of this on my own. And everyone, including you, knew. I done all of this on my own. I done all of this on my own. It's deeper than bones, with my memories of cobblestones. And if I get the chance again, I will not hide what should be shown. I've done all of this on my own.